sings my soul, my Savior God unto thee. How great thou art. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow
in humble adoration and there proclaim,
my God, how great. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Good singing. Good playing. All right, go back to Psalm 133 now. As I said, I was reading the Word. I always... In order to get a message, unless we're going through a book, as we are in Ephesians and Romans, I just start reading the scriptures and ask the Lord to speak to me, make something bless me, and I know if it blesses me, it'll bless you. And while just reading the scriptures, I was reading in the Proverbs. And that song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, was running through my head. And all things went together, and it made me go to this Psalm 133, thinking about that. Because that's what this is speaking of, the unity of the brethren and the tie that binds us. And I know of no other church anywhere, any local church anywhere, that to whom this applies more, these verses. This is the blessed unity that we have here. Now, the title of this, nearly every psalm you'll notice has a little title underneath the number of the psalm. I think this was added by the translators. I'm pretty sure it was. But they entitled this A Song of Degrees of David. And the next 14 psalms are titled by that. And someone said, I don't know if it's true or not, but that these 14 psalms were sung by the Levitical priests when the temple was there. The Levitical priest, as they ascended the steps of the temple, they would sing these psalms. I don't know if that's true or not, but nevertheless, Song of Degrees as they went up these steps. Verse 1, it begins this way. Behold, God says this often in His Word. Behold, that means stop and consider what you're about to hear. Stop and think about it. Ponder. Behold. This requires our attention. Behold. All capital letter. Behold. Think about it with amazement and with great gratitude. Behold. You know, he said that. Psalm 42. Behold, my servant. Psalm 40. Behold, your God. Behold. Behold, he says, verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, stop and consider. Just think with great gratitude how good this is. What we're doing right now. How good. How good it is. For brethren, brethren being children of the same family, and that's what we are here. You ladies are brethren. We're all brethren. Children of the King, God's family. Sons of God, the church. The reason I love that hymn, I love thy kingdom, Lord, the church of God. How good it is for brethren to dwell together. And that's what brethren do. That's what the church does. They gather together. They assemble together. They flock together. That's the nature of sheep, to congregate. You've heard me say so often that sheep are gregarious. All clean animals are. The animals that went on the ark, there were clean ones and there were unclean. All clean animals, those considered clean by God, are gregarious. That means they congregate, they flock together, they dwell together in flocks. They must, they have to have each other. They depend upon each other. They feed upon one another. And that's what the brethren do, and how good it is to dwell together, assemble together. And dwelling, the word is to dwell. It's present and continual. How good it is for brethren to dwell, to continually meet together. And that's what we do, abide together. We're living in this, on this bread of God, which man must have to live. Dwelling together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's the subject of this little song, this unity. Peace, harmony, and of one accord. It said that of the church at Acts, didn't it? In Acts chapter 2, they were all of one accord, one mind. And how good that is. How good that is. How good is it? It's as good as it gets down here. You know what? This is as good as it gets down here. And it doesn't get any better than this to me. We sing a psalm, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." And that's what this is. Heaven is going to be the congregation, the great congregation of the saints. A number which no man can number, as the sands of the sea. Try to imagine that. As the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky for number. God has them numbered, but it's going to be a sea of people. All those that know and love, who are known and loved by the Lord and know and love the Lord themselves. And who dwelled together while they were here on this earth and worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth. And this is a foretaste of that. This is a good group for Wednesday night. I'm pleased. How good? How good is it? How good is it? Oh, it's real good. It's enjoyable. When something's good, it's either enjoyable. I mean, it's enjoyable and it's profitable. It's vital. It's something that you benefit from. And this is the most beneficial thing we could possibly do. This is the one thing needful here. How good is it? It's the best. Like the Lord said of Mary, she hath chosen the best part. And it'll not be taken from her. Martha, you know, was over doing some good things. But there's something better than being all caught up with things. And the Lord said, Mary, who was sitting at his feet, that's the best part, he said. And it'll not be taken from her. Well, it hasn't been. She's there right now, Jeanette. Mary is there right now, just like this Mary. Mary Magdalene is up there and doing what she loved to do down here. How good is it? It's real good. How pleasant. How good and how pleasant. Pleasant. Turn with me to Psalm 111. How pleasurable, how pleasing this is. What's your pleasure? You ever had anybody ask you that? What's your pleasure? Ma'am or sir, I ask you that. What's your pleasure? What can I do for you? Well, this is the pleasurable thing to God's people. This is the believer's pleasure. This is what we find great pleasure in. Look at Psalm 111, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. David was always with God's people. Though he was a solitary man, though he liked to, you know, get alone with the Lord up on the hills and among the sheep. He's always with some sheep, either human or whatever. But when he wasn't just spending time alone with the Lord, he was with God's people. He said, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. So what's your pleasure? What can I do for you tonight? I'll tell you about the works of the Lord. How pleasant. How pleasant. How pleasant is this unity. How good, how profitable, how enjoyable, how vital, how needful, and how pleasant, how pleasurable this is, what we're doing here. The Scripture says, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, the older you get, and I'm starting to realize this, but the older you get, the more you just like to sit on the porch. Some of you really old folks, you two are really into that. The more, isn't that so? The older you get, the more you just like to sit and rest a spell and relax. And that's even more, you enjoy that more when you're with some good company. And along with that, maybe sit at a table, sit around a table with good friends, eating good food. Food is always better with other people. You can enjoy, you can be eating the best food on earth by yourself and not, you know, you have nobody to talk to about it. And it'd be good, but nobody to share it with. But when somebody's with you, it makes it that much better. The older you get, the more you like to just sit, relax, enjoy the scenery, sit at a table with good friends, fellowship, eat good food together. And that's the way it is when you grow old in the faith. That's what this means, growing old in the faith. The more you just like to sit and rest in Christ and worship and I tell you, those pews out there are mighty comfortable. But it's a good place to be. It's a good thing. It's pleasant. How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For brethren to dwell together in unity. Look, there's an exclamation point behind that. In unity. As if it's a rare thing. It is in this world. It really is. It's hard to find. Behold, he said. Behold. This is so hard to find. If you found it, oh, the Lord's blessed you greatly to be a part of this unity, true unity, where self, the old Western song, you know, Home on the Range, is the way it is here, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And the skies are not cloudy all day. That's true. That's where that way it ought to be, in God's place. You know, I came coming from, and I hope, I know you don't mind me speaking of my mother church. That's the church that mothered me, that dandled me on her knee up there. Now, you know it now, and you love those people. Well, coming from that place, I never remember any discord. I don't. I know there were some people who tried to cause trouble and rose up and this and that and the other. There were some troubles, but it didn't last long. The Lord took care of it. And by and large, 99% of the time, it was very, very always unified and no troubles. And well, coming from that, and now in this church, we've never had any disunity. We've never had any fussing and fighting. And I wouldn't know what to do if I was in a place that, where that went on. I don't think I'd take it. I don't think I'd stay there. I really don't. I don't know why that should be. You know, life's too short to fuss and fight it. These meetings we have are too few and far between to fuss and fight when we get here. Isn't that right? You know, I thought about this today. Life too short to fuss and fight. And I thought about that in regards to every relationship, husbands and wives. That person sitting beside you is going to die tomorrow. And so, you know, life's too short to fuss and fight. Say goodbye to them like it might be the last. Say good morning to them. Life's too short to fuss and fight. And it's too short. These meetings are too few and rare for me to fuss at you. Well, he said here in verse 2, he said, this is like the precious ointment. This unity is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. It's like the precious ointment. Something that is precious in Scriptures means it's very rare. It's hard to find. A precious substance is something that's rare. It's difficult to be obtained. Something that's precious is valuable. It's very valuable if you have it. You need to hang on to it. It's enriching. Something that is precious is costly. It's worth a lot. Something that's precious is savory. And this says precious ointment. An ointment is something that someone uses to anoint you or something or someone with. And ointments in the Scriptures are many, are spoken of often. Ointments are always fragrant. They're always perfume. My wife gets in bed every night. She's been knitting, as several of you have. And she uses this ointment on her knitter's ointment. And it has a real pungent, yet pleasant smell. I love the smell of that. And ointment does that. Ointment is very, aromatherapy. People talk about that now, don't they? Aromatherapy. There's something to that. I like good smells, don't you? An ointment is a salve. An ointment is always something that is a healing balm or salve. Well, this said that this unity is like the precious ointment upon the head. Upon the head even of Aaron. Turn with me to Exodus 29. This is what this is speaking of. The anointing of Aaron, the high priest. Exodus chapter 29. This is what David is referring to. What is this ointment? What is this ointment? What speaking of here? It's the grace of God. That's what it is. This precious ointment. This rare, this valuable, this costly, this savory ointment or savory perfume or salve or healing balm is the grace of God. As an ointment is always something that is applied by someone, an ointment. And so it is with the grace of God. This is God's grace that He anoints. We're going to see who He anoints with it first, and we receive from it. But it's God's grace that chose us, God's grace that saved us, God's grace that bought us, God's grace that brought us here tonight. It's God's grace that unites us. It's God's grace that keeps us. It's God's grace that everything supplies us. It's God's grace. And like the Scripture says, when Zerubbabel, when Christ, the great Zerubbabel, shall someday put the top stone on that spiritual temple, He's going to cry with cries of grace unto the whole thing was built from the foundation to the top stone by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we're saved by His grace, and we are what we are by the grace of God. All right, well, where is this ointment? Where is this ointment? Verse Exodus 29, it says upon the head of Aaron. Exodus 29, verses 4 through 9. Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. That is, no one else has it but him. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. Aaron was to be anointed first. And then read on. And it says, and thou shalt bring his sons. After you anoint Aaron, bring his sons, and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons. Put the bonnets on them. Only one crown. It's on Aaron's head. And put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons, and cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation. Before that bloody sacrifice, Aaron was anointed with this oil in the midst of his brethren, it says here, in the midst of his sons, this anointing oil. There was one high priest. Let me tell you what this is all about, in case you don't know. There was one high priest in the Old Testament, ordained by God. God chose him. He was God's servant, chosen, God's elect, God's chosen one to take that one sacrifice into that holy of holies in the tabernacle. Only one person could go through the veil into the holy of holies, where was the ark, whereupon was the mercy seat, and take the blood of that lamb which was slain and pour it upon the mercy seat as a token of the blood of the coming Christ for the remission of the people's sin. Only one. Aaron was that chosen one, chosen by God from among his people. And he was to go in there and make that bloody sacrifice. One. Aaron was to be the intercessor, the mediator, the one who took the sacrifice, the anointed one. The word Christ means anointed one. Aaron is a figure, the Scripture says. The Hebrews says. The whole book of Hebrews is about this. Practically the whole book of Hebrews is about a greater high priest, Christ Himself. Aaron was a figure of Him who was to come, the Scripture said. Christ, the great high priest of our profession, who by Himself purged our sin, who entered into the holy place, not made with hands, but heaven itself, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own precious blood, Scripture said. And He obtained eternal redemption for us. Only one. And since He did that, the veil of the temple was rent. And now we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need, but only through our great high priest, Christ. And it's by Him. By Him. He's the only one. And as it was from Aaron, the sons of Aaron received their blessings through Him, so it is that we receive all blessings from Christ Himself. Go back to the text. It says that precious ointment. See, God Almighty chose His Son and chose all the sons of God in Him. He's called the firstborn among many brethren. That's what that means. Christ, God, as Barnard said in his plain North Carolina way, he said, in eternity past, God, well, he said, Barnard said it this way. He said, God got up for breakfast one morning. He didn't do that. But anyway, he said he took one look at his son and loved him so much and admired him so much that he decided to have a whole bunch of boys just like him. And that was what that is called, predestination. That God predestined a people to be just like Christ, to be conformed to His image. He's the firstborn among many brethren, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. And God Almighty anointed Him in the midst of His brethren. He's the anointed one. He's the Christos. He's the Christ. And from Him all blessings flow, like that precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, went down to the skirts of His garment. All the grace of God that comes to us comes from our head, from Christ. Comes down to us from Christ, down to the skirts of His garment. You know, I thought about this. The blood of Christ, when He was on Calvary's tree, literally, the blood, well, before that, when they crowned Him with that crown of thorns, and His head was a bloody mess, and that blood just poured out. You know, there's much blood in your head, and that blood just poured down His and covered His garments, did it not? Now, that blood of Christ flowed down, and it's the blood of Christ that covers us. We are His body, are we not? Christ is the head. We are the body of Christ. And that blood is what covers us. And you know, it's the blood of Christ that unites us. All of us have been given a spiritual transfusion. The blood of Christ courses in the veins of God's people. That's right. We're blood brothers in the true sense of the word. The blood of God's doing. You know, I thought about this. You know, there's the old saying, blood is thicker than water. And it's so on this earth that blood relationships are very close. There's nothing closer on this earth, humanly speaking, than these blood relation family ties. Yet, there is a relationship closer than that. There sure is. It's the blood of Christ. It's this relationship of believers who will leave their flesh and blood to be united to God's people and not even count their own family as family over God's people. The blood of Christ is indeed flowing through the veins of His people. And that's what unites us. We are of one blood. We're brethren. We all bear His name. One Father. One family, of whom the whole heaven, family in heaven and earth is named. All right, he says, this is like the dew of Hermon. Verse 3. This unity, he said, is as the dew of Hermon. The grace of God is so good, it's so pleasant, which causes unity, which gives us this precious unity. It's this precious ointment that comes from Christ, our head. It's like the dew of Hermon. Now, Hermon is a mountain, and the reason I brought this map here tonight, it's a mountain in the northern part of Israel, right up there. You see that? That's right there is Mount Hermon. It's the highest mountain in the land. It's 9,100 and some odd feet. Highest mountain in Canaan. According to Dr. Gill, I read him on this passage on the Dew of Hermon. I wanted to read what he had to say about it. But he said this Dew of Hermon is so thick on that mountain that travelers who are passing through there and dew is so thick and plentiful there that comes down from that mountain, the dew of Hermon, the highest point. Now, dew is, what is dew? Dew is moisture. It's air that's laden with moisture. And dew is something that's more gentle than rainfall itself. Dew is something that you can't hear, but it just appears. And you really don't know where it came from. It just comes out of the air and it just appears. What a good description of the grace of God. Huh? Dew is much more tender than rainfall. Dew is slow to accumulate, yet it is it truly moistens and waters the earth. Dew. Dew comes from above. That's what I'm trying to say. It comes from above. Every morning upon awaking, that dew's there. That dew is there. It comes from above. That's a great description of God's grace, is it not? That comes to us through Christ. It's new every morning. It's, you don't hear it, but it's there. You might not even see it, but it just comes. And it's so tender and pleasant and moistens and waters a dry, parched wilderness. The dew of Hermon. Mount Hermon, another fact about Mount Hermon being the highest mountain in all of Israel, is really a snow-capped mountain. It stays pretty much with snow on the top of it year-round, especially in the wintertime. And from these dews, or from these snow-laden mountains, the dew then, of course, descends all over that mountain from that moist air. And then it floods down in the rivers, and then these rivers go down into the sea, and then the sea goes down into tributaries, or the rivers go down into tributaries and waters. So everything throughout the land, everyone, everywhere, somehow or another, get something from Mount Hermon. Did you know, Dan, can you see something there? Can you see that? What's that sound? Well, I thought you said you could see it. What's that say? John, what's that say? Can't you read that? Henry. It says Dan. That's the tribe of Dan was right there at the foot of Hebron, I thought. Dan was a great recipient of the dews of Hermon. How about you? I thought about you. There is Dan at the foot of that mountain just getting the first fruits of that dew. Mount Hermon fed the whole valley, the dews of Hermon. Psalm 104, I wanted to read that to you. Psalm 104, I paraphrased it for you. Psalm 104, started to read it for our scripture reading, it was just too long. But it says in Psalm 104, verse 10, He sends the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. And He waters the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for cattle. So everything is a recipient of the grace of God, is it not? All the earth. That's the reason he tells all the earth, praise the Lord for his wondrous work, the sons of men. And we, above all creatures, have reason to praise him for the grace, the saving grace of God, as in and through and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Christ, read on in our text, Psalm 133, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Actually, Hermon is Mount Zion. That is Mount Zion. You hear us read about and sing about Mount Zion. That is Hermon. Mount Hermon. Some people say, some think that that's where Christ went when he was transfigured. That may be. It says that he went up into a high mountain and there was transfigured. He was in and around that area. So it could be. But we don't pay any great... There's nothing special about that mountain. But nevertheless, this is a picture. This is a type. Christ himself is that mountain. Christ himself is Mount Zion. He is the lofty one. He, as I said, that mountain's cap of that mountain is snow capped. A mountain's got to be up in the heavens to be snow laden. Christ, the scripture says, his hair is as wool, whiter than snow. And Christ is he who reaches our head, who reaches to the highest heaven, but yet his body, his feet are upon this earth, reach to the earth, from whom all blessings flow, the dew of God flowing down to this earth upon us lowlanders. Verse 3 says, upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. All the blessings of God are in Christ Jesus. All the blessings of God, the true blessings of God, are in Christ Jesus. He said he commanded them. He commanded. He gave commandment to save them. All the commandments are fulfilled by him. The commandment of the blessing is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even life forevermore. This is the blessing of all blessing. Life. Everlasting life. Which we shall fully experience one day, someday. So he said, behold, how good this is, what we're doing, how pleasant it is. I don't know if this was enjoyable to you. I hope it was to me. How pleasant it is for brethren to do this, to dwell together in unity, unified, one Lord, one faith. It's like precious ointment. That's because it is God's grace who anointed our head, Christ. And it runs down. All the blessings of God come from him. It runs down from him to us who are his body. It's like the dew of Hermon. Tender, sweet, refreshing, always there, new every morning. And it comes from It's found in Mount Zion, the church, where the Lord commanded the blessing. This is where the blessings of God are. Even life forevermore. All right. May the Lord bless his word for his glory and our profit. Stand with me. Our Father, thank you for your word. It is truly pleasant and pleasurable. We thank you for it and ask that you'd use one word of it for our good. May we feed upon it and grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your great grace that comes down to us through him. It's in his name we've met here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed.